Hi everyone, and welcome to episode 261 of Mighty Whites Podcast. I'm Jack, as always, joined by Casey.
Yeah.
So this is what it feels like when Leeds lose.
Yeah, brilliant.
Shite, innit?
Yeah, I forgot about that.
Yeah, it was very disappointing, Matt, yesterday. I mean, we'll just be roughly chronological with it. The let's say my radio wasn't working very well for the first half. So I might not have the best perspective on the first half. Second half, it was fine. But yeah, Leeds lost 2-1 at Coventry. Ipswich had got beat by Norwich in the early kickoff, which meant that it was a massive, massive opportunity and we hadn't taken it. Leicester won as well, so they're now a point clear with a game in hand. So I think they're pretty much good now. So I think it's us v Ipswich, to be honest. It'll be a tough one. We actually started okay for about 5 to 10. Because like when they score, it's the first time they've come forward because they have the chance and score from that corner. So we're all right for like 5 to 10 minutes. Probably one decent chance where we did some decent stuff down the left and Firpo got a crossing, which Bamford sort of had his shot blocked. But we've been saying for a while how, and I've definitely said on here that I think a lot more at this stage of the season is mental than physical. And I think that we just had a few too many moments in this game where we completely switched off. And the first goal is one of them. Corner comes in. It sort of loops off her head. It's a bit rough. And the ball looks like it might go out of play. But you can't take that chance. And Archie Gray just stops, doesn't go for the ball, and puts his hand up in there. They hook it back in. Header on, and Ellis Sims is completely unmarked, 5 yards out, middle of goal. You just can't do stuff like that and get away with it.
Yeah, there is the part of me that, again, I know football has very much moved away from men on the posts, but when you're looking at a team that has much more of an aerial threat than we did, and you know they're going to pack the 6 yard box, you know, you were looking at their corners going, they are going in, you know, 6 yard box, getting them under the crossbar at the back post. Would you not have someone on one of the posts, and, you know, just for that extra bit of coverage there, because you know that's where the ball is going?
Yeah. I've always found it weird, by the way, that we don't, because we have 11 men back. We never have a man on the halfway line. So I think it's extra odd that there's never someone on the post. I'm sure they've done a load of research and they've come out that that's the right thing to do, but still.
Yeah. So then when the ball comes back across the area, you're kind of looking at... So I'm just getting the highlights up here. Oddly, you've got... It looks like Junior Firpo is just stood next to Ilan Melier. And somehow, despite the fact we'd had 8 or 9 of our 11 players in the 6 yard box, somehow Ellis Sims has a yard and a half of space.
Yeah. I mean, it's poor all round. It was, as I say, I know he's young, but it doesn't matter if you're 18. That from Gray, just he is, I've said it back, he's 80-20 favourite. He can get to that ball, no problem. And he just stands there and puts his hand up. And he probably did think it was going out. I thought it was going out, but you can't stop. And basically, for the rest of the half, I didn't think we were up to much. We had one really great chance where I think it was Firpo again, got in down the left, and he put a cross in for Bamford at the near post. Am I being too harsh calling it a sitter? I'm not sure I am. It was another one like the one against Hull where I think... If he goes for it with his right foot, it's a much easier finish.
Yeah, I mean, the way he's approaching this one, it's such a difficult way to... He turned his body to open up to go with the left foot. This, he's approaching it straight on. It just seems...
Throwing the leg out, hasn't he?
It feels like if he connects with it, it's going... 3 yards wide, because that's about where he's facing. If he just hits it straight forward, I think he tried to claim for a penalty on that one, didn't he? That there was a push in the back, but
yeah. I mean, he probably did get bumped about, but it wasn't the foul.
No, it's one of those again. Just let it come across your body inside of the right foot. But again, we've known for a long time that Bamford has so little confidence in his right foot. But at the same time, you're just there going, right, but at some point, you just need to try.
Yeah. I don't think there was much else in the first half, really, to talk about. We just weren't very good. And obviously, I've had some issues with the radio. But at half-time, with the shock going in, because Gruev was fit for this game, which people sort of were half expecting, but Roberts and Nonto were back on the bench, which no one was really expecting. And at half-time, Conor Roberts came on for Kamara, who had who seemed to have his usual game where he was tidy enough, but he was a bit overly negative and played some of the wrong balls. Archie Gray went into centre midfield. And you think, right, we'll see how this works. This, on paper, is probably a stronger side. Like, because it's an actual right-back. But you don't really get to find out when you concede a goal like 3 minutes later. We put in a set piece, Coventry break from it, and Somerville chases back like 60 yards and gets back goal side and slows them down, which is actually really good. And it just seems like no one helped him, because he gets all that way back, slows him down. Once you've slowed someone down and they've turned back, they are no longer like on a fast break. So even if you were 10 yards behind chasing back, you'll get there. Little pass inside. I think it was Casey Palmer that he passed it to. I can't actually remember. No, it was Eccles. I've just seen. I couldn't remember at all who crossed it. And he just has all the time in the world to pick this cross out. No one closes it down. And Hadji Wright is in absolutely acres to finish. Now, we've both watched this back, and the agreement we've come to is that it's shit communication. Because I think that Gray stopped running back because he thinks he's passed him on to Roden, but maybe doesn't shout him. But you were saying that you think it might be basically the same thing, but it's Roden that needs to shout Gray. But either way, they just didn't talk to each other.
Yeah, so I've kind of got it frozen here. It's Sims turns, and I've kind of got it frozen as he's about to lay it back to Eccles. Archie Gray is sort of our deepest player. He's got Casey Palmer about 5 yards away from him, a little bit behind him, but perfectly within, in his peripheral vision. Joe Roden has sprinted back with Hadji Wright, and Hadji Wright, they are sort of neck and neck as they're sprinting back. And then as Joe Roden turns, I think he has a brief look and sees Archie Gray. But the moment he turns, I don't think he can see Casey Palmer.
So he thinks Gray's free when he isn't.
Yeah, so you're now at the point where Eccles is just about to deliver the cross in. And frozen in time, leads are ideally set. Ampadu's got a man. Joe Roden looks like he's still with Hadji Wright. And Archie Gray's got an eye on Casey Palmer. And then Roden just turns to face the ball. Hadji Wright is now in between Gray and Roden. Mm. And I think Gray is still watching Casey Palmer, but is probably has a second to go, oh, I guess he's my man now. But at that point...
Too late.
Yeah. And you do just look, it is they both sort of do the shrug at each other of just, well, where were you?
Yeah.
It's so badly communicated. Like you say, that the fact that it happened once Sims has been forced back and we are able to get a sort of a back four assembled again. And it's just not well managed in the moment.
Yeah, by the sounds of that, then it sounds like it is mostly on Roden. it's, I mean, what we'll say is, and it's a thing that we should point out, it's a very good ball for Metals and it's an excellent finish. Like, it is a really good goal. And it's just because you're seeing it from your team's point of view. If Leeds had scored that goal, I'd probably just be saying, oh, it's a great ball and a great run. But you notice the things with your team. And there was, it was just a second goal. And both goals have been caused by a player just switching off.
Yeah.
And you, it's hard to get away with stuff like that. And once we were 2-0 down, I mean, it was... If that's the 49th minute, and even though we've just made a sub at half-time, you're worried about trying to get back into it. And once again, the, it's another 17, 18 minutes before the changes come. Which was Joseph for Bamford, which was absolutely fair. I'm as big a Bamford fan as you'll ever find. But he really wasn't at it at all in this game. For what it's, and I don't think it was entirely his fault, because I don't think Georgie was either. And he obviously stayed on because he's more likely to create something. And Peru came on for Gruev and ended up playing that quite deep role that he does. And he was probably my bright spot for this game when he came on. I thought Peru was really good on the ball. I thought he won some tackles well. I thought he knocked it about pretty good. And obviously he did get the goal that got us back into it. There was a bit of... I think Joseph got... If I remember right, Joseph got the ball down the left, played it in... Georgie, like, tried to turn around three or four players, and although he didn't quite get away, he did manage to force his way through. When he forced it into the box, it was sort of not, I wouldn't even say half-cleared. There was a foot on it from a Cov player straight to Peru, and he finished very calmly.
Yeah, it's a really tidy fit. It's almost just laid off for him.
Yeah.
From the Coventry player, like you say, he's just able to... And he just guides it into the corner. There's not a lot of power on it, but yeah, I think he picks it. I think he picks the gap really well. Really good finish. And you're kind of looking, knowing what we can do at that point, thinking, right, there's that. Well, you, they're going, there will be one more chance. We are always good for creating one more chance. Mm. I think just looking at the stats as well, we're. You know, 19 shots, 8 on target, 70% possession, 651 passes. It's... Yeah.
Like, I don't think, although it wasn't a robbery by any means, it wasn't a robbery that we lost this game. But I think it's, it'd probably be fair to say that we were probably good for a point. But
yeah,
that's variance for you. I mean, like, we weren't very good against Watford and got a point. We weren't particularly good against Hull and got all three. And we weren't particularly good today. And today we just didn't get away with it.
Yeah. I think once you got to 2-0 as well, Coventry managed it really well. You saw out of possession, they dropped into that 4-1-4-1, cut off a lot of space in the middle. And I suppose that, you know, that's state of the game. Yeah, you can let Somerville have it out wide. You know, you're cutting off Jorginho pretty effectively. And it, in those situations, we do tend to... it happens that much. I don't know if at this point it is. And keep calm and give it to, well, Somerville in this case. That's not grass anymore. But
yeah, very little chasing games. I do think that we've massively over... I get that he's probably his biggest threat, but you can't just give it to the same person every time. That's easy to defend against. And I did think it helped when Nonto came on for the last sort of 8 minutes or whatever it was. We started going down the other side, and I thought Nonto did quite well when he came on.
Yeah, it was quite nice to see him taking on his fullback a few times and trying to get a couple of balls in. I know we had... Ultimately, didn't really come to a whole lot, but he ended up winning a couple of corners.
Did he take that corner in the last minute? Because in the last minute, it was one of the worst fucking corners you're ever going to see in your life from a player who I thought did well.
Yeah, keeper's gone up and famously didn't beat the first man.
Yeah, no, not just didn't beat the first man. It was ankle high at the first man.
Yeah, not our proudest moment. But it's one of those that I think you and me were both fairly cautious about this one to begin with. We both had a one-all draw.
Yeah, we both had a draw in this. Obviously, Connie and Alex had wins. I mean, you say we always get that one chance, and we did get the one chance. I think it was Firpo took the free kick, which I think said how low we were on set pieces at the time, set piece takers at the time. It's a really good like flick around the corner from Mateo Joseph, who I really think there's an argument for starting him over Bamford on Tuesday. Little flick around the corner. Peru is in the exact play he want. I thought he'd probably let it run across himself and go with his left from that position, but he went with his right and he just completely flubbed it. Like, an entire scuff. You couldn't have hit it much worse.
It's so soft. It's quite, the thing that's quite nice is you see the clip straight afterwards of Mateo Joseph goes up to him. He's like, don't worry, mate. We'll have another one. It's fine. We did not have another one.
No. But I can... Again, it's like when Bamford, they all miss him. And I do think that...
It's the fact we were in that position at all. Yeah. Is the frustrating thing, I think, when you look at some of the chances. Because like, I think we said before we started, when you go through the highlights, there's a few bits that are missed out. I think there's, you know, Archie Gray has a chance very early on. That he just like completely...
A minute in, wasn't it?
Yeah, he basically whiffs it, doesn't he?
Yeah.
That's what happens when you go absolute full power and take your eye off the ball.
It was a frustrating one.
Yeah, Bamford had one where he's kind of close to goal with the defenders and keeper right in front of him, and he tries to dig something out.
Yeah, again, that one was early. That was about 5 minutes as well. That's before the first goal.
Yeah.
And we do say often with Leeds that if we get that first goal early, we look so much more comfortable. But, it happens. And as much as I was and still am pissed off that we've lost that game, especially given... Mind you, but I suppose given the results, it doesn't matter, because if they'd won, it'd be shit for a different reason.
It's that thing of, yes, it's frustrating that we've not been able to take advantage of them losing.
It means if
they'd have won, then you're there very much thinking at this point, we're probably finishing third here.
Yeah. If your first league defeat of the year comes in April, you can't be that mad. Like, that's...
And yet...
You can be sad.
It's been a fantastic run. My concern at this point, and this is not how I feel, this is sort of a gauging the temperature... There is part of me seeing now the did we go too soon, and looking at how we've played in these three games in terms of the performances themselves, how have we run out of steam?
We'll probably find that out over the next couple of games. It's a reasonable worry, because even when it's been going great, there has been a lack of rotation. That we've noticed, especially in games. If you think back to earlier in the season, you know the ones where we're winning comfortably and everyone were going, right, take them off, rest them.
Huddersfield at home.
Yeah, those sorts of games, and we didn't really do it.
Make the half-time subs, give players a run. The frustration is that you have, in those situations, you have Anthony, Gelhardt, Cooper, Cresswell, Shackleton. You have these players that can play and Ayling was there for the first half of the season. You have these players that in those situations, why weren't they playing half an hour? Why weren't they playing 45 minutes? Because the game was done.
Yeah, but the one thing is though that for all the times that he doesn't make those changes, when we are comfortable in a game, we do drop the pace right down. So I do think he saves the legs to an extent with that. I think that's the sort of devil's advocate for it. There was one thought I had, and I'm not the only person who's had this thought, because I've seen a couple of other people saying it.
Liam Cooper's fault?
Yes, it's definitely Liam Cooper's fault, obviously. Tom Leeser's fault. We only made four subs, and one was at half-time, which doesn't count as a sub window. Two at the same time. So we had another sub left. With 5 minutes left there. Do you think Charlie Cresswell's a good idea?
If it's good enough for Marcelo Bielsa to try once.
Just like, we've not long left. You're probably going to get some set pieces. And I'm looking through that squad now that Strouk is injured. And I think your best shot at attacking a ball at a set piece is Charlie Cresswell.
And against a big team as well, where if you're coming up a team that's defending quite narrowly, you're probably going to win quite a few corners cutting inside along the byline. Yeah. Like, and you're looking at our team going, kind of going across it, going, you've got Somerville, James, Connor Roberts, Archie Gray, who I know is a bit taller, but I still wouldn't really consider him much of an aerial threat. Joe Roden is, you know, probably you would consider our biggest aerial threat, but even he is.
Joe Roden attacks it well. He just never looks like he's going to score. But I really do think there, with a few minutes left, I can't see any reason why you wouldn't maybe take Gray off, because Gray was playing really deep anyway. Once we do that all-out attack thing, he basically plays centre-back, doesn't he? Like, just chucking Cresswell on for 5 minutes. Obviously, he's not going to start games at the minute. You don't break up that centre-back pairing unless someone's injured. But I just think it might have been a shout.
Yeah. I mean, looking at the bench, because obviously that was the thing I hadn't actually noticed yesterday, that there was no Gelhardt on the bench. We've spoken several times about Jadon Anthony, where if you end up bringing him on, you probably need to play him on the right-hand side, because having him and Somerville on the same side is just two players getting in each other's way.
Yeah.
And then once you've brought Nanto on, you're not really going to bring him on as well, because you've already got Connor Roberts there. Although I suppose he does default to number 10 at this stage.
Yeah, he ends up in some odd positions. I think as we'll
get into it, that you probably are looking at Sunderland thinking we will need to make a couple of changes here.
Yeah, there's definitely some tiredness involved. I was just gonna check, did they get beat again? Because they have been shite lately. They drew 0-0 at home to Bristol City, did Sunderland.
It's got mid-table written all over it.
Yeah, they are very much mid-table now. I haven't checked exactly what the table is, but they can't make the playoffs anymore. They're not even close, I don't believe. Yeah, they've dropped all the way to 13th. They literally cannot make them. They are 15 points behind with 5 games left, but also 15 goals, and other teams have to play each other, so it's not going to happen. I really do think that if you were going to pick a game to give Joseph his chance to start in the league, I think it's this one.
Yeah. I think you're probably right on that one. I look and think, and some of this depends on fitness as well, but Bamford looks, I think mentally, I think he probably wouldn't do him the worst. Wouldn't be the worst thing for him to have a break, because I think he's had a bit of a rough go of it these last couple of games.
In my head, Bamford is still my first choice number 9. I just think that for this game, he's not had a good couple of games.
I think he wasn't great against Hull, wasn't great against Coventry, and saw very little of the ball against Watford. So I don't think it'd be the worst thing for him to have a break. Do you see it at all where Pirou gets a start?
I don't think he will, because he always plays Georgie. Given those last two games, I couldn't say it was a ridiculous thing to do, but I think Georgie stays in, just because he only has to have a good 10 minutes and that might be 2 goals.
Yeah.
So I think he stays in. But Peru, he might get on a little bit earlier in the next one. If Connor Roberts is properly fit, I'd like to see him start. And probably start Gray in the midfield.
I think Nonto's probably another shout for me as well. I know Dan James got the late goal against Hull, but you couldn't say during these three games you've seen a right lot of him.
No. The only thing is, Dan James's record at home this season is utterly ridiculous. That's the only thing. It's not really that. It kind of makes me want to keep him in. Like, Somerville has to stay in.
I mean, you go before the international break, Nonto was on a good run of scoring. To be fair, yeah. I know he was not scoring a lot of goals at Elland Road, but he did score, obviously, in the Millwall game. It's one of those things where I wouldn't mind. It'd be interesting to see Gray and Gruev perhaps in the middle from the start.
To be honest, I don't think Nonto will be fit enough to start, because I think if he was actually really fit enough to be on the bench, I think he'd have been on earlier than that.
Mm.
So I wonder if he's maybe, but he might have half an hour in his legs on Tuesday.
Yeah, I mean, you're down to the very business end here now, aren't you? What have we got? Tuesday, Saturday.
Monday, Friday, Sunday. Monday, Friday. Isn't there a footballer called that?
Is that a regen?
No, it might have been an FM regen. I mean, Robin Friday was a real footballer, but I think that
Monday Bandili was a
Monday Bandili and Sunday Elise.
Yeah,
one fictional, one real. Which one's which? No one knows. the Sunderland form is pretty terrible. They did win at Cardiff, but like they drew 0-0 with QPR. They got beat 5-1 at home by Blackburn. 0-0 with Bristol City is not a great result. They've dropped right down. They can't make the playoffs. They can't go down. They have nothing to play for. I think Jack Clark is back fit again, which is a shame for us, but it's good for him.
It's just a shame for Archie Gray if he's playing right back.
Yeah. Well, it's one of the other reasons why I wouldn't mind Roberts getting a game and getting to play an actual right back there. They will be 4-2-3-1. You would think that the young players will come in, like, because they've got so many young players, but you think they'd all come in now. Like, I'd expect Yelda to start for that reason. They'll have Ballard and Onine centre back, but that Ekwa will start. They started Chris Rigg in the last game, it's weird because he's now been in and around the first team for 2 years, but I think he's 17.
Yeah.
He was 15 when he got in. I'd expect Joe Bellingham to play up front. Clark on the left. Obviously, Bradley Dack is back fit, but I doubt that they're going to play him because they may as well focus on the young players now they've got not to play for. That Uchiche will probably play as well. Patrick Roberts. They've got a load of young players that I think are good but not great.
Yeah, I'm just sort of looking at their team now. Obviously, kind of their big thing this season has been struggling to settle on a striker, which is now why I think they are probably going to stick with Bellingham for the rest of the season. Because I think they tried everything for him to be a 10 in that team, because they've got about three or four different strikers there that it's just not worked with.
I don't know how old he is. What about Ukrainian lad as well, aren't there? Is it Rusik?
Yeah, he got injured and just...
Rusin. I've just looked it up. Rusin is his name.
Just looking here, he was not on the bench at the weekend, so he may well be injured again. If it were me at this point of the season, you would be thinking, right, let's give all these players the minutes that they need. Yeah. We are in no danger of going down.
That's why I think Chris Rigg will start and stuff. They want to blood him as much as they can. When they signed Yelda, we said it'll probably be a good signing for next season from that. So you'd think he'll stay in.
It's funny with that one, because obviously he was replaced by Aji Alise on the weekend, who himself is only 23. You know, that they are...
I don't really know what about that Aji Alise. I don't think I've really seen him.
He is a big... He's a tall left-back.
Oh, so like for like, then.
Yeah, another one you...
I still think Yelda's a centre-back. I still do.
Aji Alise is very much, you look at him and go, well, he's a centre-back.
Yeah.
But he's been used, I think, mostly as a left-back.
By the way, I will say, I'll put the predictions on Twitter for this rather than doing it on here, because I haven't heard back from Connie or Alex yet, so I may as well just do them all at the same time. Away from Elland Road, Leicester away at Millwall, Tuesday. I mean, Millwall do have a load to play for. They're not very good, but they're only 2 points above the relegation zone.
Yeah, I saw, because they... who did they lose? I think they lost to Huddersfield.
They got beat by Rotherham, didn't they, the other night?
Yeah.
Because I know Rotherham have gone down now, but they got a stay of execution for a week because of that.
Yeah, Huddersfield beat them on Saturday as well. Oof. So that's... It's been a big week for the bottom three, because Sheffield Wednesday won, Huddersfield won, and Plymouth won. And yet there are 2 points between 23rd and 19th.
Yeah, didn't have too much stress ourselves, it'd be quite enjoyable to watch.
Yeah, I mean, there's three teams on 46 who there is still an outside chance that they get dragged into it. Stoke's form's improved. Plymouth, this second half of the season, it's been an absolute tailspin.
Well, I mean, when Schumacher was there, by all accounts, they were overperforming their metrics. But there was a load of belief in the squad. Because they did it last season in League One when they beat Ipswich to that title, despite Ipswich being miles better than them.
Hmm.
But when he's gone to Stoke, I think that that confidence just dropped, and that Ian Foster didn't do great and also kept picking fights with the fans, which doesn't help. So it means that if you have a bad start and you go 1-0 down, they'll turn on you so much quicker if the manager's being a prick.
Yeah.
And their home form was what was sustaining them, and they've lost the home form. Because they have they've sacked him now, haven't they?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, and Neil Dewsnip is the interim coach. But if they got a win at the weekend, then that's a big one for them. But I can't. I don't know how we ended up on Plymouth, because they're playing QPR at the weekend. That'll be QPR have done well to get themselves out of it. With the effects in league stuff, Southampton are at home to Cov. Are Southampton far enough back that you've stopped worrying about them yet?
Let me have a look and say.
They're 11 points behind us with two games in hand. So they're 5 points behind, even if they win the games in hand.
Yeah, I suppose I'd probably still want Coventry to win it at this point. But I can't see them overturning it. Like, their form... Two wins, two draws, and a defeat in their last five.
They kind of need us and Ipswich to fall apart a bit, don't they, if they're to have a chance?
Yeah.
So, yeah, hopefully go for that. Obviously, we're playing Sunderland. I mean, I'm a pessimist, so I'm always going to assume it, but I assume Leicester win fairly easy for that. And then on Wednesday night, Ipswich are at home to Watford. Going to say Ipswich and both teams to score?
Yeah, I'd say that's a fair shout.
I mean, Watford did... They've played all right against us. They're definitely better under Cleverley than they were before.
Yeah. I was about to say back at Carrow Road. They weren't like that. Yeah. Back at Portman Road, off the back of a defeat to your local rivals. I could see them kind of turning Watford over, to be honest.
Yeah. I don't think it makes much difference, but them playing Wednesday with us playing Tuesday and Leicester playing Tuesday, if us and Leicester were to both win, it puts a lot of pressure on them. but it's a big if.
And they seem to have dealt with it for the most part. Like they've
well, they seem to this. Deal with it quite badly for 75 minutes and then deal with it amazingly for 25 minutes. That is not me getting maths wrong. There's 100 minutes in every Ipswich game.
Yeah, at least. yeah, it's... I think with these games now in the running, it's very much going to be, you're going to enjoy it very briefly when you win, and then it's going to very quickly turn to, oh God, I'm so worried about the next game.
Yeah. I couldn't even enjoy Ipswich getting beat.
We have said several times now that you look at the remaining fixtures, and Southampton aside, they are all games we could and probably should win. You know, what are we? Sunderland.
We've got Sunderland in bad form with no really to play for. You should win that. Home to Blackburn. Blackburn is 16th. They are technically still in the relegation fight, so they do have something to play for, but, you know, it's a home game against the poor side. You should win. Middlesbrough away. It sort of depends how the next couple of games go, because they're 6 points off the playoffs already. If it doesn't go perfect for them for the next two games, they may well be out of it as well.
Mm.
They'd say, even though it's an away game, should win. QPR away.
QPR are, if I remember right, they're on exactly the same points as Blackburn.
Yeah. So again, it depends how it goes. They might be out of it by... They would hope to be out of it by then, I think.
Yeah.
And then obviously Southampton. Which, if you were just saying, looking at the points, Southampton will likely, not definitely, but likely be in a position where they're best off resting players for the playoffs.
Yeah.
Like, that's statistically the most likely outcome at the minute. I mean, we might... what are we on? We're on 86. If you win all five of those games and you get 101 points and you don't go up,
and you lose in the playoffs,
then, well, I've said before, whoever fifth or sixth is winning the playoffs, I've been saying it both times, there's four teams that are much better than everyone else. Two of them are going up automatically. The other two are losing in the semi-finals.
So West Brom are going up here.
Yeah.
There's no justice.
No, Cov are getting in the playoffs and making them move the playoff final because we're in the FA Cup final as well. What I know that we ask about it all the time, but it's true. What do we need from five games?
I honestly think it's four wins and a draw.
So you think we need 99 points?
I think we need 99 points to go up automatically, yeah. Which is insane.
Yeah.
It's insanity that is not guaranteed, that could not be guaranteed to go up.
Well, it's an utterly ridiculous thing to say. I said, when asked about this before, that we needed 102, which we now can't get to.
So 101 there.
But Ipswich have also lost a game, but I didn't think they were going to lose since then.
Hmm.
If you get four wins, that's 98.
Do you want to hear Ipswich's run in, or would that not make you feel any better?
Well, it depends what you say.
It's obviously at home.
Can you lie? Have they somehow got Man City away three times?
So Watford at home.
Watford at home, they'll win that.
Yeah. Middlesbrough at home.
They'll win that.
Hull away.
Hull are now too far away to get playoffs out there. They're only 6 points back with a game in hand. Hull, there's a chance, if depending on where they are.
Coventry away. Who I'm assuming we both now have renewed confidence in.
Depends how the FA Cup goes and depends if they're still in the playoffs. But both of them, there's a chance.
And a lovely...
Last game, and they got someone shit at home.
It is Huddersfield at home.
Yeah, they'll win that. Even if Huddersfield have got, you know, there is a very decent chance that they'll go into that massively needing the result to stay up, but I don't think it'll matter. So I think they've got three nailed on wins in that.
Hmm.
So yeah, if we get four wins, I think we'll be okay. Because I think Ipswich will draw a couple. But
go on, Coventry.
I think the only way... I mean, we can't even be certain if we win all five because that's not how maths works. But the only way I'd be certain of us going up is if we win all five.
Yeah.
If you get, if we got 101 and didn't, they should get rid of the playoffs and just promote us. It should be a new rule. If you get 100 points, you go up. Even if there's five teams. Five yeah. teams get 100 points. 22-team league next year.
I mean, when we looked last year, what was it? 96 points for Chef Wednesday to not go, to not be promoted automatically seemed quite harsh. As I look at it. Yeah, Ipswich 98, Plymouth 101.
Yeah.
I don't know. I know Wednesday ended up winning in the playoffs, so it didn't matter, but to still get that points tally to finish third is still harsh.
Yeah. They also lost the first leg of that semi-final 4-0, didn't they?
Yep.
And then sat the manager but got them up. I was just looking, like we won the league by 10 points, we're 93.
Why?
Third place and fourth place that year got 81 points. We've got 86 now. 5 games left. It's a ridiculous season. Like, if we weren't involved in it, we'd be loving this.
Oh, honestly, this is so much better than the Premier League running.
Because the Premier League is pretty good.
That's quite good. But this is madness.
I mean, they've got... I mean, the Prem has 71-70-70.
Yeah, Liverpool, the numbers aren't as big, though, are they? That's the thing.
Yeah, so it's one louder in the Championship.
Yeah.
So, I say, we'll just say... So, team... I think Melier, Roberts, Roden, and Padu, Firpo, Gray and Gruev. I think it'll still be James. James, Somerville. And I think he'll do it. I think it'll be Mateo Joseph.
I think it's as you were, but I think Piru comes in for Bamford.
And Luther do the swapping over who's doing what.
Yeah, the thing that worked really well, you know. Worked really well against Sunderland last time.
Yep. That was a fucking ball falling to someone unmarked 6 yards out middle of goal as well, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Although that one, I think it was a bit, there was a massive deflection one there. It was a bit harder to defend. It was harder to fault us on that.
We were still in the dark, dark days of, ooh, Pascal Strauch was fit.
I miss the big sexy pilot.
I do, but the numbers.
Yeah. They spell disaster for us at sacrifice.
Yeah.
Well, that will do us for episode 261. We're still writing it. Losing that game is not a disaster. It just feels like one right now.
Hmm.
But we'll be back after a game on Tuesday, probably on, I reckon, Thursday is most likely because Wednesday is never any good for us. But yeah, I've been Jack, see ya.
I've been Casey, have a good one.
In a bit.